Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson. I'm in the studio today with my buddy, Lee Kimball. How are you, Lee?
You know, I am just wonderful, Beth.
Just wonderful, and it's a beautiful day again. Thank you, thank you. We've had, in Vero Beach, Florida, we've had a rough winter. You know, we're very blessed. This is not like saying you had a rough winter, like if you're in Toledo, Ohio, or Schenectady, New York, or something like that. But it's been a weird winter. It's been cold, and it's been rainy for a lot of, most of February.
Which is mostly difficult for the people who come to visit.
Yeah. Well, it's difficult for me, and I live here. And I like the sun. I like the vitamin D. I like the positive feeling. I like the warmth.
And I was speaking to a friend up north yesterday that was commenting that they had had a milder than normal winter.
Yeah, because of El Nino, the jet stream.
I thought you meant some little boy.
No. Moved away from us and toward them, I think, is what the sway did this year. But today, Lee, I thought we would talk about the people we love the most and dealing with the ones we love the most, because it can be difficult. And I want to talk a little bit today about family dynamics.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you think?
Well, that's...
Let's certainly shoot for it.
Absolutely.
You know, family dynamics are the patterns of relating or the interactions between family members. And, you know, family dynamics are different for each family because each family is unique. It changes, you know. For everybody listening, what does family mean to you? What does it mean?
And the dynamics change it because we're ever changing, Beth. People are ever changing.
Right, right. Well, you know, in a perfect world, a family would be a group of people with whom you feel special, with whom you feel a sense of belonging, with whom you feel supported and encouraged to pursue your dreams. But that isn't always what happens with family. We have moments of that, and we have moments of brokenness. And that's why I thought it might be interesting to talk about it today. Because family dynamics can be affected by many things, from sibling rivalries, birth order. You know, my experience of my family of origin is different than my sister's experience, who's the oldest in the family. We take on roles because of where we were born. And just random, you know, there's random things that irritate you.
Well, there's another component, too, that comes to my mind, and that is when, you know, because you're talking about relationship, and you're also, at least my perception is, hopefully you're talking about loving relationships, and I want what's best for the people I love, but we all have our own path. And very, very frequently, you know, I've fallen into the trap of trying to impose what I think is best for them.
Right.
You know, through either demand or, I don't know, it's my child comes to mind. When my mother was aging, you know, 90 years old, and I don't want her to eat ice cream because she's diabetic. She's 90 years old. Let her eat the darn ice cream.
Well, it's hard. You know, in another workshop that I did, I looked up some test cases and some numbers and some figures, and they basically said 90 to 95% of adults suffer the scars of family dysfunction.
Oh, so I'm close to the 1%. Not.
You know, the world seems to be going more in a way where extremes are more commonplace.
Yeah.
And we find ourselves always searching for balance, most of us. I think that that's what a lot of people feel. When they feel uneasy, it's just a lack of balance in their lives. And it's hard to get back on balance when you get out of it, simply because the world is a world of extremes now.
And it's a whole nother subject, but we've spoken about the instincts that we are given, and when they overreach their intended purposes, go to extremes, we are then out of balance.
Absolutely. So that's what I thought we would get people to think about today.
I like it.
You like it? Okay. Well, when I think about family dysfunction And that's unfortunately sometimes what we're dealing with. Well, 90 to 95% of us. So for the 5 to 10% of you out there that are going, I don't know what they're talking about.
Well, it's mostly the humans.
Yeah. Yeah. God bless you. You know, I think that some of the things we need to do is to learn how to deal with people in general. And the people we love, it's harder because we have set reactions. We grew up with
patterns
of behavior that are ingrained in us. It's like if your car wheel is in a rut, when you're trying to get that wheel, the tire, out of the rut, it is uncomfortable in the driving. You have to really steer to get that baby out of the rut.
But once, it takes work.
It does. But once you're out of the rut, you can go in a different direction. That's what we're talking about today. Are there things we can do that help us get along with the people we love the most? Because that's the other part. They may drive us crazy, but we love them the most. I work in the service industry, and it's a funny thing, but different times of the year, people have family coming to town, whether it's for the holidays or for spring break or for whatever it is. And I always coach my team to remember that the first day that the family's there, they are so excited and we can do nothing wrong.
The honeymoon stage.
Yeah. But by the third or fifth day, you know, the kids are noisy, that the house is a wreck, they are not sleeping enough, you know, blah, blah, blah. They're eating different foods. They're all different things that we'll talk about today. And it does affect how you get along with the people you love the most. And that's what creates the dysfunction. All dysfunction means is dis, meaning away from, and then function, working, away from working order. That's all dysfunction is. It's not a big, bad, horrible thing. Family dysfunction is normal because personal dysfunction is normal. We're all human beings. We're all wearing skin suits. We're all going to make mistakes here and there. But here's the deal. Do the people you love the most know that about you? Do they know that you love them that much? That's an interesting question, isn't it?
Well, and I was just thinking about awareness, and it can go on both sides because, you know, I love that my wife, with one of her sons, is aware when they get together. They got about 4 days. And mm-hmm. about 4 days, they're done. Hey, good to see you. I love you a lot, but, you know,
it's time for you to go.
Enough is enough.
it's time to leave.
But it's an awareness that they acquired because I'm sure there were periods of discomfort, you know, until they had that realization. So now they plan based on that.
Right.
She's
right.
Not going to plan a 10-day vacation with him because she knows.
Yeah. And she wants to be loving.
Absolutely.
She wants to be, you know, supportive. She wants to be. And what happens is people get into our little, they interrupt other patterns that we have. We're people that are kind of programmed to live a certain way. You know, if you have that, let's talk about that. What if you have a family member who just, your phone whistled at us.
I guess it did.
It did. Okay, so what if we have a family member who irritates you? You know, no matter what you love about them, there's also these qualities that you can't stand. You know, they're going to do this and it's going to drive you crazy. He always does this. He always fill in the blank. So when we're talking about that, let's just talk about that for a simple one. Why don't you, before you see the person, focus on their good qualities? What do you think of that? Is that too simple?
It's a flip.
Just focus on their good qualities. Say, okay, he's going to do this, but on the other hand, I know this and this and this about him that are really good, really wonderful qualities.
Well, I had such a gift the other day. I would listen to my wife speak to her son about when we first got together. She had given me a box for my first Valentine's Day and 50 little red hearts folded in half, and on each one, she had written something she loved about me.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
And I didn't know it, but at the time, what she was sharing with him, because she was evaluating, what do I love about him? What don't I love about him? And she had these 50 things in this box. She said there were 5 things that she didn't, but they were insignificant compared.
Yeah. compared.
So it kind of fits to what you were just saying.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? Like you see maybe a couple that's been married a really long time. They kind of get over that stuff that bothers. You know, it's just like, that's just the way he is. Just don't worry about it. And they'll say that to you. Just don't worry about it. That's just the way he is. And they'll go on about their day. And that's the thing. I think that when you think about having a bad relationship, we're talking about stress. It's uncomfortable. It gets uncomfortable. It irritates you emotionally first. But that irritation will get into your body too. And it will start to make you feel bad. Maybe tense in the shoulders. Maybe tense in the neck. Maybe where you're sitting on the edge of your chair like you just want to go off. You know? And those feelings are what you want to avoid. So start by knowing what you're dealing with. You have somebody coming to visit you, or you have somebody that you're going to spend time with. They do have some annoying habits that get on your nerves. Focus on the positive. Focus on what you love about them. I love that. 50 hearts that had good points and only 5 that had bad points.
But go in with, just like you plan your activities, go in with an emotional plan.
Mm-hmm. How do you mean that? Go say more about that.
Well, like you were just saying, focus on the positive things. You know, maybe if you need to schedule yourself some time, some alone time during the day. Okay, I need to go walk right now. You know, I need to go spend some quiet.
Oh, I have an appointment at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, you know.
I'll be back at 12:30.
Do what you need to do to make the best of your time together.
Right. I think we'll give you some more ideas. We're going to take a little short break. And when we come back, we're talking about the people we love the most. And sometimes they drive us crazy. How are we going to get through it? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the Beth Wee Radio Hour. Don't forget to check in at www.bethwee.com for more insights and information on how to connect in this big, crazy world. www.bethwee.com gives you dates of upcoming seminars, video teachings for those seeking recovery, tools for finding peace of mind, and Beth's blog, Thoughts to Challenge Your Complacent Thinking. Next time you're online, check out www.bethwee.com. Look for us on Facebook as well. We want you to live your priorities.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson in the studio today with Lee Kimball.
The song just fits the topic so much.
It does. Have I told you lately that I love you? And that's our theme song, and we picked that carefully. It was funny when we were looking for the music for the radio show. I was pretty, I guess I was not very, I didn't budge much, did I?
Well, you know, we were looking, and our very first show before we had come to picking it, at the time our producer Jody had played this wonderful version of a Metallica song on violins.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just great, but it was Shane's looking
and
at
Shane,
me.
And Shane, our producer, now is going, what? How did she pick that? But the reality is, you know, love is the answer. You know, there's that old song by England Dan and John Ford Coley. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Light of the world, shine on me. Love is the answer. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about our families. We're talking about the people we love the most. And you know, when you love somebody that much, they will drive you nuts. That's just part and parcel of being up close and personal with people. They're not you, so they're going to think differently. They're going to say things that are different. They're going to have opinions that are different. They're going to laugh at different jokes. They're going to dress differently, maybe. Maybe I have a child that has some piercings. Some people see that and go, oh my gosh, you know. Not me. I love this child. I love her.
It's not who she is. It's just what she's wearing.
Yeah, it's what she's wearing. Things like that. But you have to really be present to stay with that. Because if you're not thinking, or if you're just kind of going through life and not really enjoying each moment of life, but just kind of floating through, you'll react to these things, and you'll react in ways that may interrupt the relationship. We interrupt this relationship because you're annoyed and acting like a fool.
But now when you say family, Beth, it doesn't necessarily have to be biological family.
No, it can be anybody that's yeah. close to you like that. The people that fill that place in your heart, mm-hmm. the people that are the people you turn to. You know, Goethe wrote that thing. We need to have people who mean something to us, people to whom we can turn, knowing that being with them is coming home.
Oh, I love that.
It's a really good quote, and we have to have people that when we're with them, we're coming home. And, you know, what should you do when you're having trouble with someone? I think another key point that I'd like to throw out today is make sure you take responsibility for yourself.
Well, there's such a propensity, I don't know if that's the right word, but where people will want to blame, mm-hmm. you know, and get into, but I'm right.
Well, use I statements. Let's just start with something that simple. Like, I remember learning that when you say this, I feel that. You
he
know?
Said she heard.
and it's something that you learn like in a therapy session. When you, fill in the blank, whatever it is that bothers you. When you
say you want to tile the bathroom, I hear, oh, so you're not going to finish the yard?
Or when you eat cereal out of the box. Like something like that simple can drive people crazy.
When you put the silverware point up in the dishwasher.
There you go. So something like that can ruin your day. It can ruin that day's relationship with the person that you love. That's a hardship. So use the I statements. You know, I get offended when we talk about politics. I don't know why. It's not a good topic for me to talk about. No, say that like that. I'm not saying that I get offended. I don't usually.
Oh.
But I'm just throwing it out there. That's an I statement. I get offended when you talk politics with me. I feel like I'm stupid. I feel like you don't trust my vote. I feel like you'd like to tell me how to vote. Whatever it is. That sounds like silly, but that's a real conversation that you could have with somebody you love and let them know, because sometimes people have no idea that you're feeling that.
But be prepared that they may not care, because I know that if I were to do that with my brother, he would say, well, that's because your politics are ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, and so then you can say, you can give the person a choice. You can say, well, I really don't want to continue discussing it with you. And if he continues, then you can say, listen, if we're going to keep talking politics, I'm just going to head out and we'll catch up next week.
I agree to disagree.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's a statement that I've used that really helps. You ready? You say something to me. You give me a line.
I was going to say, shut up.
Give me a line of something you think I should do, or something, you know, something you think is helpful.
Oh, I think you should wear your hair longer.
You may be right. I'll have to think about that.
Yeah, I tried that on my teenage daughter returned that to me once.
Did
you know,
she?
Dad, you may be right.
I probably taught her too.
Oh, my goodness.
But you may be right. I'll have to think about that. And the reality is that it stops the conversation, because the person's like, oh, I may be right.
It's hard to debate that.
Yeah. What am I going to say to that? So you may be right. I'm going to have to think about that. That, you know, that's part of it, you know, and it's gentle. It's you're using a gentle voice. You're saying, you're opening the possibility that they could be right. So if what they're fighting for is their need to be right, you've just squelched that need.
And it's de-escalating.
Yeah, it helps you go. And I'll have to think about that. That means I'm not committing to you that I agree with you. I'm not telling you that you're right. I'm saying you may be right, and I'll have to think about it. And for that, I'm going to need some time. So let's move on to a different conversation. Let's move on to a different place.
What else do you think I should be doing?
But, you know, that's the reality is we have to share our boundaries with a gentle tone. You know, so many times with the people we love the most, we just escalate so fast. You know, it's like love is such a great emotion. And yet, when you really love someone, you can go from 0 to 60 in no time flat.
And there's no take backs with words.
Oh, it's this hard thing. The toothpaste thing.
Yeah.
You've heard me tell the story many times about the kids squeezing the toothpaste out of the tube. Whoever got it out first won a prize. Then I said, now put it back in the tube. The kids were sitting at the table trying to figure out how to get this tooth. No, they were covered in toothpaste, let me tell you. Trying to get it back in the tube. And they said, we can't. And I said, that's the deal. That's what I wanted you to see. It's like your words. Once they're out, you can't get them back in. And, you know, I hope those kids that went through that little game with me always remember that, because once your words are out, and when they're hurtful words, they don't get to go back.
And we're talking about relationships that are important to us. We're talking about people we love, people that if you were to sit here and ask, would you want to hurt this person, that the obvious answer would be of course not. But when the emotions ignite in that situation, you can find yourself saying things which are hurtful.
And, you know, when you say it like that, when you're in the moment, and if I asked you in the moment when you're escalated, do you want to hurt this person? You'd say, yes, I do. I want to hurt them. They're hurting me. How are they hurting you? By having a different opinion?
Just briefly, this morning I had a discussion with my daughter. She was disturbed because we are in a season of politics and we are in a world of social media. And she said, you know, I am so disappointed that I have friends that will post, if you vote this way, unfriend me. She goes, so our friendship is not strong enough to weather different opinions?
Right, right. Well, it's a fear-based comment. You know, it's a fear-based comment. Like, this is on the line for you. They're saying, our relationship is on the line. Now what are you going to do? Now, how are you going to vote?
Well, that's a threat.
It is, but it's based on fear. Yeah. It's based on fear. And, you know, fear, you know, many of you listening have been to some of the workshops I do and some of the things I believe. I believe fear is the opposite of love. I think that love is the solution. And fear is often the cause or the culprit or the chaos producer. And oftentimes, fears aren't even legitimate. There, if you really took the time to look at them and go deep, like, where did this start? When did I really believe that if you vote differently than me, that I can't love you? Do I really even believe that?
Or it may be misplaced.
Or why am I fighting for that then? You know, why am I fighting for that? It's funny, when we try to control people, they balk, you know? They fight. They resist. People don't like to be controlled like that. I don't have strings on me. I can't be your puppet. I have to be able to do what I think is right.
But where you can find power in it, Beth, is if you take it and get to the ability to understand what they're trying to do and still listen to what they're saying and decide whether or not, practice that you may be right.
Right.
I'll take that under consideration. And perhaps they are.
And open your mind to it.
Right. You know?
Because sometimes it's you that has the closed mind.
Absolutely.
You're the one with the limitation. You say they want to be right, and therefore, you know, but the reality might be you just don't want to hear them.
And if somebody calls me on my stuff, it's irritating.
Yeah.
It's irritating. If you point something out to me that I don't want to be looking at, and I may strike back in denial.
Right. It's a tough go. You know, we're talking about loving the people we love the most. We're talking about sometimes it's hard. Love is it's a way of being present, fully present with another person. And sometimes being fully present with someone, you know, we all go to the bathroom, you know, we all have gas, we all have bad breath after we eat garlic, we all have whatever it is. When you're fully present, you get all of it. You don't get just the pretty parts, you get the tough parts too. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about loving these people we love. We're going to take a break and listen to some news flashes. And when we come back, we're going to do the 5 on 5. And you got it. They're aimed at family. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.